I would just like to take a minute, read a couple of verses, but just let's just gather ourselves together again in the grace of God. Because grace is everything for us. And I'd just like to gather us together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you for your presence. We ask that you stay with us, and we know you will. You are a faithful God. You are faithful. And you will pour out your loving kindness on us in a variety of ways. Without even asking for it, you pour out your loving kindness. But we do ask you right now to open our eyes that we may see. Open our ears that we may hear.
Amen.
We thank you for your word. And now make your word come to life, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd just like to read a couple of verses, several verses. You don't need to turn to them. Just one verse here, one verse there, and you'll get the idea what I hopefully get the idea. Peter wrote this. He said, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." Are we following the example of Jesus? Are we walking as Jesus walked? Let me read another one. John, that was Peter, John said something like this, "For I gave you," he's quoting Jesus, "for I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." That's from after he washed the disciples' feet. I gave you an example. He lived his life as an example. He taught and gave examples. And we're to follow his example. How are you doing? I would say I'm not doing very well following his example. We can live our life trying to follow, walk in his steps as he walked, we will probably not do very well. Try as we might. Try as hard. John had a better idea. When he wrote his letters, he said this. Now listen to this. "By this, love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world." Now, isn't that something? You know that. That's 1 John 4:17. As he is. So I did a little, we've been familiar with this verse for a long time, but I looked up, I couldn't find it. I rather than read 1 John from beginning to end and hope I stumble across it, I did a search for it. And I found out something very interesting. John, it's not the only place that phrase, I did a search for the phrase, "as he is." You could do that in your little computerized thing. "As he is." And John used that phrase four different times in this one letter. I thought that was very interesting. "As he is." So, 4:17, "because as he is, so also are we in this world." In 1 John 3:2, "beloved," "beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is." And the very next verse after that, "and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is." As he is pure. As he is. And then just a few verses later, verse 7, Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. As he is, so are we. And someone like me asks questions like that. As he is. As he is. And I have to raise the question in my own mind, as he is what? As he is what? Last year, we focused a little bit, we even heard a little bit this morning, read from Revelation 1, that wonderful expression of who he is right now, the glorified Lord and Savior, glorified from Revelation 1 and 2. He's glorified, and that's who he is right now. But that didn't answer the full question fully for me, as he is what? And so I wanted to go back into the Gospels because we saw him in the four Gospels in a certain light. And I wanted to go back and see, well, how do we see him? How do we know him? What is there about him quality-wise that we can look at and say, where is there any kind of description on what he is, how he is? Not how tall he is or what he looked like or anything like physically, but what do we know about him that we can say, as he is, so are we in this world? And there is one place. There's one place that gives a very full description of him. And we can say that even if we look at him in his glorified state, that one day, you and I, all of us, will see him as he is in that glorified condition, that glorified state. He has not changed at all from what he was when he walked on this earth in human form, incarnate. So when you get a description of him in that period of time, that 3.5 years with the disciples, what he was then, he is just as much now. He is now, except glorified. So what was he? There's a description. And now you can turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 in a very familiar passage. Matthew 5 and what we know of as the Beatitudes. I don't know who named them that, but the Beatitudes. And let's just read these. From Matthew 5 verse 1. And when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And we'll leave it there. These are the Beatitudes. There are 8 of them. 7 are one thing, and the last one is something else. But what are these things? They are Let me just put it this way. I'll give you the point right up. This is only one message. I'm not doing a whole series on the Beatitudes. This is just one message because I have just one point to make. And it's a simple point. That what he is sitting down with his disciples and beginning to teach. This is early on, after they were chosen. He gathered them together and began giving them an example. And what he's doing, he is simply this, describing himself. That's what this is. If you want to know who Jesus was, what was he like? Here is an extended description of what he's like. These describe him. These describe not only him, but everyone who follows him. All of us. As he is, so are we. These are descriptions of us. Seven are character traits. One is a result. The first seven represent character. They're not things we do, and that's the biggest mistake when we try to read these and we try to do them. We don't do these things. We are these things. Let's make that clear right at the top. You can't do these things. You are these things. He makes us into these things. He is giving his disciples a description, a full description of who he is. His character. It is the character of the kingdom of heaven. And everyone who is a part of that kingdom. A kingdom is made up of our Britain is not here. Our Englishman is not here. He'll be back next week. He knows this very well because they have a queen now, but they've had in their history a king. A kingdom is made up of a king, but it's also made up of the subjects of the king, not citizens of a. We are citizens of heaven, but we are subjects of the king in the kingdom. And these are descriptions of the king and everyone who is his subject. There's a kingdom of heaven. It's him. It's Jesus. And as he is, so are we. And we can't try to be these things. Now, these things were given to his disciples before Pentecost. They were given, and they walked with him for 3.5 years and saw these character traits in him. But it wasn't until after Pentecost that these character traits actually began to change them. Peter is used as the example for everything. I was looking at all of these, and I think one easy way to see one thing is to see its opposite. You know, you can see light. You can understand light by seeing dark, you know, contrast. And so I started looking at the opposites of these Beatitudes. And I stopped after a while because I was pretty much just describing myself. And that I didn't really want to do that. So I said, I could look at the disciples. Yeah. And we look at Peter. We beat up on Peter so, but he's such a good example. He was given to us as the example of the opposite of these, but not just Peter. He's the representative of all the disciples. They are the opposite of every one of these. And we can see that. And today I'm not going to go through every one of these Beatitudes. It's way too much for all of us, and I didn't want to overstudy and then dump a lot of stuff on you. I just wanted to make the one point. As he is, so are we. These character traits will be ours in the kingdom, if we're part of the kingdom, these belong to us. And in time will. Now, and Peter's a great example of that. Because you see Peter in all of these Gospels making all of these wonderful examples of the opposite of these character traits. But you see in his letters when he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, and it's just when you look at this, it's hard to believe it's the same man who denied the Lord, who argued with him, who tried to prevent him from being crucified, could write these letters, these two letters. We've always remarked among ourselves we've seen other people too, not just Peter, but in life and reading about testimonies of people. We see how a life is transformed from beginning to end, how the Lord does bring and build character into us. It's nothing we do, it's what he does in us. And by the end of our lives, he has done a marvelous, there's an evidence of value and treasure being built into each of us in the form of this character that we see. As he is, so are we. As he is what? Well, let's look. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Spurgeon's already been quoted today. I got a great picture of these things from Spurgeon. He said, these Beatitudes are like a ladder. Picture them as a ladder. And this is the first rung of the ladder. You do not, I don't know about some of you, but when you're young, if you want to climb a ladder, you put your foot on the first rung. You do not jump onto the fourth rung of the ladder to climb up. Right? We haven't done that. Not anymore, right? If we did it once, we don't do it anymore. You have to have the first rung of the ladder. This is it. And you notice that every one of these Beatitudes, as you go from one to the next one, how they build upon each other. You do not start in the middle of these and you say, I am going to be meek. We try. It's impossible. It is impossible for us to be meek without being poor in spirit. You have to be on that first. Like, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? I always wondered about that. Years ago, the brothers, we were meeting on Monday nights, and we tried to cover these, and it was nothing memorable about it at all. But it's really simple that to be poor in spirit is to realize you have nothing. You can do nothing. Jesus demonstrated that when he said, I can do nothing apart from my Father. I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. That is poor in spirit. We ourselves live our lives in strategies and tactics and scheming and using our talents and our skills, and we think so highly of ourselves. The greatest example we have of the opposite of that are the disciples. How many times did they argue among themselves who was greater? All jockeying for position. We recognize in them, we recognize ourselves in them, don't we? So who's better? Who's better at this? Who's greater? Who's number one? How competitive are we? That is not the Lord. That is not poor in spirit. He never competed with anyone. He could have, you'd think, like us, we would have competed with those Pharisees, got out in a big debate with them. He didn't compete with anyone. He was poor. He recognized, he knew he could do nothing apart from his heavenly Father. That is poor in spirit. We need to know we can do nothing apart from yes. our heavenly Father.
Yes.
We can do nothing. We have no ability.
That's right.
We have nothing. No skill. We can get a little better at something than, you know, but it's only by the grace of God. It's only by grace. These are done by we grow in these things. Character grows in us by grace, not by effort. You got it? You got it. It's only by grace, not by effort. So following his example, the example he gave was by grace. So poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You notice that the blessing is appropriate for the character. The blessing is always appropriate for the character. There's no entering the kingdom of heaven in your own spirit, in your own effort, in your own struggle. It's always by grace, poor in spirit. The next, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Who mourns? Who mourns? Both those who see so much to do, but can't do anything. And they see the need, but can't do anything in themselves. That produces mourning. There's nothing lighthearted about the kingdom. If we see our own need and the needs of those around us, we can do nothing unless the Lord does it. We mourn. What can we do? We try, but can't do anything. We seem so needy. We are. We are very needy. We need the Lord. We mourn for ourselves. Next. Blessed are those. Well, I may say the reward, but blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. As we mourn, we fail, we can't do anything, there is comfort. The Lord comforts us if we mourn. All right. Blessed are the meek or gentle. You notice that the first two are very passive. This is active. Those who blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus said of himself, I am meek and lowly. The disciples were not meek or gentle. Several of them, I don't know, there may be some examples of the disciples who fit several of these all at once. They were a wild bunch of guys, weren't they? They were not meek. They were fishermen. They were strong and self-reliant. And they were what?
Sons of thunder.
Sons of thunder. Excellent. Not exactly meek, thundering away. Meek and gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. We are the inheritance of the Lord. We inherit the kingdom and the earth. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? But to gain the whole earth. Yeah, well. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The hunger and thirst for righteousness. The woman at the well, very clearly in John 4. She thirsted, but didn't know it. She did not know. to hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is one of those rungs of the ladder that you don't jump to right off. It begins, our eyes are opened by this point, and we see, what do we want in this life? We don't want things that are wrong. Our attention becomes corrected, and we begin to hunger and thirst for something we don't have in ourselves. We hunger and thirst for righteousness, things that are right in God's eyes. That's the middle rung of the ladder. And then it goes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Our friends, the disciples, good examples of a total lack of mercy. Completely, absolutely. Shall we rain down fire from heaven? What's this? Wipe out the entire village. Gone. Smoldering ruins for rejecting you. That's not mercy. But Jesus is merciful. He is merciful. He is now, right now, even in his glorified state, even in the sitting on the throne in heavenly places, he is merciful. Merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You get what you give. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This does not speak about moral purity. This speaks about the oneness of our hearts. And we see there is no substitute for God. That is the greatest hindrance for seeing God, is substituting something else for him. There's no substitute. There's nothing else. And so once we are at that place of character, that once that character is built into us, that we realize there's no substitute. There's nothing else that will do. We see God. We are rewarded. But that is character. It takes a long time to build that. Sometimes it takes a while, doesn't it? It takes a while. We try all kinds of things to see God. To be pure in heart. To only look to the Lord for every need that to be fulfilled, every trial. We pray for one another, we encourage one another to seek the Lord, right? In everything. We do try, although we are tempted. But it's a question of character. It's not a question of doctrine or works. It's not that. It is a question of character that is built into us so that we are automatically doing something. We just in right up. The first thing that comes into our mind is, Lord, what do we do? What do you want? What can you say to us? What can you show us? And we begin to see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This is the peacemaker. Jesus was the ultimate peacemaker, wasn't he? For all of these character traits to be built into us, if we were to be peacemakers, and the disciples were far from it until after Pentecost, we will be called sons of God. It's most remarkable. to be called sons of God. I think of the disciples before Pentecost and then after. There were some bumpy moments, weren't there? After Pentecost brought the presence of the Holy Spirit, who works these characters into us. Just as the disciples had these character traits worked into them. Peter still is that example. We see Peter displaying less character than we would think an apostle. Even Paul. I read this very interesting passage in the book of Acts, where in Acts 15, where Paul and Barnabas, winter has ended, it's springtime, the seas are now calmed down so you can get a ship to go someplace, and the roads are dried up so you can travel on them. It's time to go back and visit all of the churches that they witnessed to the past year. And Barnabas said, yeah, let's go. Can we take John Mark with us? And there Paul disagrees with him. Says, no, we're not going to be ran out on us. He's a coward. He's not fit. He's not capable. Barnabas and Paul had a sharp disagreement. I mean, it's written that way. A sharp disagreement. Who's right? Who's the peacemaker? They departed. They split. It's all covered by the Lord. Don't worry about it. It was all fine. It all worked out. John Mark. We don't know why he departed. We don't know why. It's the hint is there that he just, this road ministry. No, this isn't for me. This travel ministry, no, it's not for me. Not much I can do here. We don't know what happened. He later became reacquainted with, he went with Peter and stayed for a long time with Peter and heard Peter's relating all of the incidents that we know as the Gospels to such an extent that he wrote all of them down, and we have the book of Mark because of that. Well, that's pretty good ministry. That's pretty good character built into somebody. And then later in life, at the end of Paul's ministry, he says, have Mark come and see me because he's useful. He is useful for ministry. Well, there's a little character built into everybody in that. That's the kingdom of heaven's character being built into someone. So everything is covered. It's okay. Though if we are not quite like making our way up, we are making our way up the ladder. We are working our way up that ladder. As he is, so are we. And so what was good for the disciples and the apostles good for us? It's the Holy Spirit working this character into us. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it begins with the same phrase and ends with the same phrase. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You cannot exclude persecution. We have a number of our brothers and sisters around the world being persecuted right now, way past anything we think we could ever face here in this country. We complain and whine about the littlest, tiniest thing. Oh, the media doesn't like the Christians. They make us look bad in the media. Well, they're not killing us yet. They're not driving us out of the church. They're not removing our tax exemption. Maybe it would be a good thing if they did someday. Praise the Lord. It would all be covered. It's okay. All of it would be designed to build this character in us by the Holy Spirit. by the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is what builds the character, not our actions, our dedication, our anything we do. We don't build character like that. There are religions, there are expressions of doctrine and faith, there are expressions where some of our brothers and sisters try to live their lives according to some of these things. So whether it be peacemakers, or they'll be merciful, or they'll be gentle and meek. That's not where it comes from. Praise, well, good for them, it's not where it comes from. It comes from the true grace of God working through the Holy Spirit. That's where it comes from. Now, one more thing is connecting all of this to unity. Okay, we've been hearing. These are character traits. You know, when you see, you hear this, we see Christ in each other. We want to see Christ in each other. We want to see, when we look at each other, we want to see Jesus. When we do, so we're seeing these character traits. That's what we're seeing. When you see these character traits in each other, you're seeing Jesus. When I was in Russia and China, I saw people I didn't understand a word they were saying. And that's a real blessing to be with someone to experience this, but I saw these character traits. I was seeing Jesus in people who maybe only months old in Christ, but they had a change take place in their life that these character traits were growing. They're growing in grace. And I saw that. I remember vividly some people, individuals, who... I remember one was a room, one of the first meetings we had in Russia, first gatherings, and I was suffering from jet lag like crazy. I couldn't stay awake, and the dear brothers were droning on, and it was hot, and I was having a terrible time staying awake. But we had a little tables and some snack food and meals. We ate a meal, but there was one lady off across the room. I said, I wonder. She was in her 50s and had a lot of bridge work of gold. And I said, interesting person. Well, wonder what she does. And, well, I found out because I got to go to several of her villages. She was assigned. She didn't drive or anything. She ride a bus from village to village. She was assigned like three villages or something. And she had to have house gatherings. She would conduct services in houses in these villages. And I wound up going to hers. Interesting. Well, she had this character built into her. I did not feel poor in spirit when I was around her by comparison. She was marvelous. And I was just seeing Christ in somebody. And I saw it in people in China too, who were facing the pressure of persecution. They were a little bit in Russia as well. Not much, but not as much. But either one of those. Here in this country where we could be. We will be blessed if we're persecuted. We will be blessed if we demonstrate these character traits. We'll be. Or now on unity. That's where I was going. This is unity. When you see Christ in someone else. When you see these character traits that aren't humanly constructed, they're real. You sense it. You know. That's unity. If one of these traits, and it's usually the first one, the first rung of the ladder, if that's not there, or that's hindered, and we know it comes and goes in all of us, but that breaks unity. That breaks unity. So am I going to say I'm going to try harder? That would not do well. No. I could just ask the Lord, work that first rung into me. Make sure that is the one that's where my foot goes first. First rung of the ladder, that we be poor in spirit. And then we'll start. Then he'll be able to work in us. As he is, so are we. We are in the kingdom of heaven. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this to our attention. And Lord, make this real to all of us, that we will be poor in spirit. It is not by our effort. It's not by horses or chariots or strength or skill or education. It's by your grace. And we want to see you. And Lord, we would pray for a deeper sense of unity based on the presence of Jesus in our midst and each heart, that we see Jesus in all of us. And we thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Happy New Year.
Amen.